We rise. Emmanuel is God with us, and he dwelt among us, and he lived for us, he died for us, rose again so that you and I could live and be redeemed, free from guilt and sin. The word of God for our consideration this morning are the words in Hebrews. I read those to you earlier. Let me just draw you to the opening few verses. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never be by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year make perfect those who draw to worship. If it could, would they not have been stopped being offered? For the worshippers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt the guilt of their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins, because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. So far our text, and we pray. Dearest and most merciful Jesus, you have saved, redeemed, restored, and set us free from sin, death, and the grip of Satan. O Lord, you have called and empowered us to repent and to be prepared for your second coming. Today we ask that you would continue to open our eyes to your word and to your will, and not be distracted by the things in this world. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. In your name we always pray. Amen. You may be seated. I do greet you this morning in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. He is our coming King, the one for whom we wait patiently and eagerly look for that day of his return. I greet you as members of his holy body, redeemed, restored, and forgiven. Well, I wonder, have you thought about some of the things that you do? Some of the things that we do? Maybe wonder, why do we do it that way? Or perhaps we've forgotten. What is the purpose behind decorating your home? Why do you hang a certain star or a certain ornament in a certain location? Why do we bother putting up trees and then covering them with lights and symbols? What is the reason that we play Christmas music and sing songs and ring bells? Now, if we ask that question of people here or even beyond this building, you may get a number of different answers. I suppose some people will say, well, we always do it that way because, well, we've always done it that way. Some might simply say, it is tradition. It is how we have chosen to do things. Some might say the colors, the lights, the nice paper, the uplifting music just reminds them of a more joyous time, a time of their childhood. And I'm sure if I asked you individually, you could give me different reasons for the different things that you continue to do at this time of year. So whether it is by habit or tradition or for some God-pleasing reason, we know that people throughout history have done things over and over and over again, year after year, century after century. And sometimes we tend to forget the reason or the meaning behind what we do. The people of old were no different. As years went by, the promises of the Lord were made, demands and commands were given, and people were told to do these things. And looking at the people of old, some of them began to lose sight of why they did what they actually were called to do. Some would question, why do we harvest our grain from the field and then take it to the altar of God and have somebody burn it up? That doesn't make sense. Why do we take grapes and olives and crush them into liquids and then take them and offer them to some unknown god? Why do people take the best animal that they have, take it to the priest or Levite, and let them offer it completely to God? Why do we do these things? Well, I'm sure some of the people of the Old Testament pondered why they did these things. Oh, sure, they could say, well, God commanded us to do that, therefore we must do it. But not only did God command the people of old to do things, he told them why. In the writer of Hebrews, he says the law requiring sacrifices is only a shadow of the good things that are to be coming. They are not the realities themselves. The offerings of wine and grain and various animals were foreshadows of the things that were to come. They are pointing ahead to the promises to be fulfilled by the Messiah. The animal sacrifices remind them that sin must be atoned for. The spilling of blood is the only way that sins can be forgiven. But the goats and the bulls that are offered would not do that. Otherwise, they would have stopped a long time ago. They were just reminders. They were foreshadows of things that were to come. God's law had told the people to offer these things, to present these things to God as a constant reminder that sin brings death, and death must be atoned for by the sacrifice of blood. But not by goats or sheep, not by birds or animals, but by the Lamb of God, chosen by God himself. There is a better one coming, a perfect sacrifice that would be offered. And that sacrifice would take away the sins of all the people, all the world, one time for all. The writer says it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. But he does go on to say, if the death of the animal could do this, then the worshipers would have been cleansed. And they wouldn't have to do it again. But yet, they still feel the guilt of their sin. They feel the weight of God's hand on them because those bulls, those goats, those sheep did not take away sin. They were a foreshadow of things that are to come. That if you believe that God was going to send the Messiah, that you believe that one day the perfect sacrifice would be made, when you saw those animals being sacrificed and offered, you believed the promise of God that because of that, I would be forgiven. That I am forgiven. The people of old were forgiven of their sin because they believed in the promises that were to come. The sacrifices that were offered were offered to remind them constantly that sin separates us from God. But there is one who will come. A Savior would come in and take the place. You and I know that in days gone by, the people of old were looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. Today, you and I will look back and see the work that he has done. He is the fulfillment of the law. He is the perfect sacrifice. We have been made holy through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, one time for all, as the writer of Hebrews reminds us, through his perfect life, his innocent death, in his glorious resurrection, we've been set free. We have our guilt removed. We know that we do not have to offer bulls or goats or other sacrifices in order to await for the promise. The promise of this coming Savior has been fulfilled in Christ, whose birth we will soon celebrate. The people of the Old Testament trusted the promise, those who believe the message. They look forward to the day that the Messiah would come. And for us, we look back and say, yes, he has. So we know that they were saved by faith in the promise. We know that we are saved by that same faith, the promise that Christ Jesus said, I am the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Trust in me, believe in me, follow me. I am your God. I am your Savior. I am the sacrifice. But people living at the Old Testament time may or may not have put their trust in the promise that was to come. Some of them were simply living out their lives in a normal existence, but doing what God had told them to do. Some were simply just going through the motions, maybe distracted by some other events, maybe unwilling to study or trust and believe in those sacrifices were pointing to the Messiah. I suppose some are just failing to ponder, failing to trust. But we look at our world today, and many people will hang their lights and their decorations, and they will sing their happy songs, and they may not trust either. They may be just going through the motions. In fact, it's Isaiah 29 and Matthew 15 both repeated these words. The Lord says, "Some of these people come near to me with their mouths and they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is made up only of rules taught by men." Some of the people of old were simply following the rules that were added to and talked about. People today are simply doing certain things out of habit or just because it's the way they've always done it, or this is what the rule says I have to do. Going through the motions. Mouthing things, but not believing it with the heart. And since God can only judge the heart, we can simply look at the actions that people do. We trust when they make their confession that they are saying Jesus is Lord, God, and King. We believe them because their mouths are saying, but only God will judge the heart of those. Fellow believers, you who are forgiven and restored, Advent is a time of preparation. We are in those final hours before the celebration of Christmas. We rejoice that God has given us the opportunity to prepare our homes, to prepare our church, to prepare our hearts, our minds, our body and soul and spirit for the Lord to come in all his glory or to call us home by death. We know that he will come when he chooses, and he will call us home when the time is according to his will. So I ask, why do we decorate our church? Why do we decorate our homes? Why do we hang lights? Perhaps we need to be ready to give the reason for the hope that we have and not simply just look at decorations as something to change the look of our church. When we look at the things that we have or the foods that we eat and the events and different things that we have, we need to be able to tell people what it means, to give a testimony that we decorate our homes because of the joy that is in our heart that is in Christ Jesus. This is an outward adornment of the joy and confidence that I have in Christ. It is the beauty that we demonstrate in our homes that lets that light shine of Jesus. We always need to tell people the reason for the season, the reason for the hope that we have. We hang stockings, we decorate trees, we have food and people over to give a testimony to the world that Jesus is the Savior. That Christmas has its name because Christ is that reason for the season. We know that because of him, because of his coming, because of his birth, because of his promises, that we are truly free. We are forgiven. And that no more sacrifices need to be made. Everything we do is out of joy and out of love for Christ. May we always be filled with that excitement and joy, not only during this Advent and Christmas time, but year round. Because fellow believers, we are free and we are forgiven. Our guilt is removed. Nothing else needs or can be done. May God, who has now restored and redeemed and forgiven you, bless you and keep you all the days of your lives. Amen. Amen. We rise. And may the colors of the season and all the things that testify continue to speak that Jesus is the perfect gift that continues to give. Amen. Having heard God's word, let's join together and confess our Christian faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. You'll find that printed for you on page 31 in the front of your hymnal. the Nicene Creed. Together we confess. We believe in